Chapter 8. The False Teachings of UFOs. The second reason why UFOs are clearly demonic in origin is because they not only lie but they teach like demons. So let's now take a look at what they teach and discover who their source is. They supposedly come from the edge of the universe, and what are they doing here? They promote occult/New Age teachings and debunk true evangelical Christianity. Sounds kind of fishy to me. In fact, it sounds like something a demon would teach. And that's exactly what this researcher had to say as well. John Ankerberg.
In light of the messages given by the UFO entities, how credible is it to think that literally thousands of genuine extraterrestrials would fly millions or billions of light years simply to teach New Age philosophy, deny Christianity, and support the occult? Why would they do this with the preponderance of such activity already occurring on this planet? And why would the entities actually possess and inhabit people just like demons do if they were really advanced extraterrestrials? Why would they consistently lie about things which we know are true, and why would they purposely deceive their contacts?
Good question. That sounds like what a demon would do. Teach lying stuff just like that. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Let's now observe some of their other lying messages, the things they teach, and you tell me if it's not demonic as well. Lie number 1. All of us are little gods. God and man or the creation are part of the same divine essence. Or in other words, old-fashioned pantheism. Yet the Bible says there is only one God, not many. Here's a transcript of a various people channeling these entities who are speaking through them teaching this blasphemous lie that we are all gods.
Some channeled entity, some Christ, some priest, some preacher, some deity, some prophet is our redeemer that excuses us from living life. We have missed the message. Why don't we learn to think on our own and find new benefactors for that greatness? Genius, you know, is not mediocrity, it's not predictable, is not funded, it's not hired, it's that which can dream beyond the paradise. You have the ability to be a genius. Did you know that every dream that you dream should never be put aside as imagination? Every dream is the next step of your evolution. The one that gives us permission first tells us, you are God, so let's get about learning how to be that. Religion is no longer sacred. Everyone questions the church. They should. Everyone questions the meaning of life. And everyone questions the direction that science is taking, and when you do that, it's the age of enlightenment. You cannot have, enlightenment does not come on the heels of the Black Plague. No, that is not enlightenment. Enlightenment comes on the heels of plenty. Because only when you are gluttonous to everything and question everything, you are right to know what you have never known.
So, forget about the past and live today on the wisdom and the virtue of what you gain.
You don't have to feel guilty about your life anymore.
I would love for someone to stand up and say, God doesn't live outside of you, God is you.
While J.Z. Knight is among the more successful mediums, she is certainly not alone.
A nearly identical doctrine is preached from a series of channelers that believe that they are in communication with extraterrestrial spirits from other planets and galaxies.
In the documentary UFOs and Channeling, the late actor Telly Savalas reveals that the purpose of channeling these alien entities is entirely consistent with the New Thought, New Age movement, to change the thinking of mankind.
Tonight we are going to show you some film that will change the way you think about life.
Next, we are introduced to a woman who channels a spirit who calls itself Leah.
Good afternoon, Philip. How are you today?
Very good. How are you?
Fine, thank you. So, what is it you wanted to know?
Where are you from?
I am from Venus.
I don't think anyone is going to believe that you or anybody else could be from Venus. Can you explain to us how you could be when everybody knows it is uninhabitable?
They think it is uninhabitable because it is not inhabitable by any physical life forms. We have bodies of light.
While Leah rambles on about fantastical ideas, she soon compels the audience with global unity, a message found throughout the New Age movement.
And what occurs here, on this planet, will affect the rest of the universe. Can you, with all of your different ideas, and your different races, come together as one planet and one people? We have dedicated millennia upon millennia to this idea. The earlier experiments with Penn and Lemuria and Atlantis were not successful, but this one will be.
Now the interviewer asked the woman to exchange spirits and to channel another spirit that calls itself the Tibetan. Tibet is an often referred to hotspot for New Age empowerment. Hitler's Nazi occultists went to Tibet thinking to find their ancient Aryan ancestors. Listen carefully to the Tibetan's message as he refers to the Great I Am, the name God reveals and in the Bible to describe himself.
I am the Tibetan and I come during this time continuing to discuss with you the idea of the only question in the universe, and that question is what the answer is, I am. For all things that are created, that were created, and what shall be created, fall under the question what is, you and each and every one of you are that answer, and that answer is, I am. I am, is also the name of the creator of this universe. That is all. I relinquish control to the entity Leah.
As the entity Leah returns, she confirms that you are God message and refers to the new race that will arise through the New Age movement. Most New Agers today do not realize that this new race is identical to the master race prophesied by Adolf Hitler, a race of so-called supermen who will be their own gods, having rejected the one true God of the Bible.
This New Age movement is where there will be a race on the planet and throughout all galaxies, and the name of that race will be peace. It's been wonderful spending some time with you. As you take this little piece of information with you, know that you are never alone. You are all connected to the creative source of this universe, and nothing can stop that flow except your denial that you are God. We thank you. Good day.
Another man channels a spirit calling itself Bashar, who seems to hold his audience spellbound as he tells them they are equal to the creator of the universe.
That we are all made in the image of the infinite creator, and what that means is you are all infinite creators. We find you.
Jack Purcell has become one of the more popular channels possessed by a spirit named Lazarus.
It is indeed a pleasure to be talking with you. Shall we begin where you'd like to begin?
Lazarus tells the listener that God is already within man, and that if man wants to find God, he needs only to find himself.
Now the problem is the people look out there. They're looking all over the place as if their God was somehow tired of them. It's with every spiritual reference, be it fundamental or be our own God, speaks of that spirit within, and it would suggest that it's therefore your task in this physical lifetime really isn't to find God, because God's everywhere. He's God is all it is, everything, all over the place. Your task in any physical incarnation is to find yourself.
Jane Roberts was a New Age pioneer who channeled a spirit known as Seth. Roberts sold more than 1 million copies of her books and inspired many in this vocal recording. We hear her channel the spirit of Seth.
I've seen these many times, I say it 1 million times, here in this class and in my book, you form your reality. Then what is the you that forms this spectacular reality that you know? When will you be willing to admit the greatness that is within each of you and not cower? And not say in this realm of reality, it is not possible? But encounter the greatness within yourselves.
Rick Stack, teacher of Seth philosophy.
Clearly the main message that Seth is trying to say is people are gods in training.
Some may find it interesting that the name Seth is synonymous with the Egyptian god Seth Megsul, and in the realm of the occult, Seth Megsul is one of the infernal names of Satan.
But not only that, what's also very interesting is that this desire to be like God was what caused the very fall of Satan.
Isaiah 14:12-15. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn! You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit.
And that's precisely why the Bible is very emphatic that there is only one God, not many.
Deuteronomy 4:35. You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God, besides him there is no other. Deuteronomy 4:39. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. 1 Kings 8:60. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. Isaiah 44:8. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock, I know not one. Isaiah 45:5. I am the Lord, and there is no other, apart from me there is no God.
But hey, it's a good thing that nobody's falling for this obvious lie. Actually, the lie is spreading fast, to almost all corners of society. Environmentalism. The philosophy of environmentalism is based in the religious belief of pantheism, that God is in all and all is God, that Earth is our mother Gaia, that all living things have equal value and that mankind has overstepped its bounds, even being a cancer on the rest of nature. As ardent environmentalist, Al Gore states, God is not separate from the Earth. Hinduism says that all is God. Hinduism worships multiple deities, gods and goddesses, and that all reality is a unity. The entire universe, including you and me, is seen as one divine entity just in different facets, forms, or manifestations, and is worthy of worship, as seen in the following excerpt.
As an old white-haired man is walking down the street in what looks like the crowded streets in India, he is telling us, Guru is our best friend, philosopher and guide, and he shows the way to God.
So, we in our India acknowledge him as a divine power just equivalent to God. Male follower. If anyone could be near the beloved master and witness the love, the passion, the humility, the peace, the generosity, no one in his right mind would not know that this is a walking, talking, living God on earth. Female follower.
In our scriptures you will find that the master is the God incarnate power working on earth.
Male follower. You people that interviewed this gentleman today, I don't think you know who you interviewed God.
Mormons even say you can become a god. After you become a good Mormon, you have the potential of becoming a god. Then shall they be gods, because they have no end, therefore, they shall be from everlasting to everlasting, because they continue. 10 Shall they be above all, because all things are subject unto them. Then shall they be gods. So-called spirit guides say we are God. Feel the millions of souls, the divine spark within each of them. We are here in your moment of realization, in the moment you come to meet with your divinity, in the moment when you finally accept that which you truly are. Even supposed messages from the Virgin Mary say we're God. God is all that is. Therefore, we are prime creator expressing itself as us. We are not striving for perfection as we are already perfect. What we are striving for is to remember our perfection. We are not divided into parts. Since God is us, therefore, we are God. Messages from the angels say we're God. It is nice to come and break bread, the bread of truth. God gives all of his creation freedom of choice to find themselves. To find their true ancestry of God goddess within them. And finally, New Agers say we are God. One of the most ardent New Agers, Shirley MacLaine, not only says she's God, but she even made a movie encouraging everybody to do the same.
Actress Shirley MacLaine was Time Magazine's poster girl for the New Age movement in the 1980s. MacLaine starred in the biographical miniseries Out on a Limb based on her journey into New Age belief. The series has been called the most talked about miniseries of all time. The title Out on a Limb refers to the risk involved in seeking the fruit of the tree of knowledge. In the miniseries she is being told, Mayan told me to tell you one thing if you had a hard time with this, she said, in order to get to the fruit of the tree you have to go out on the limb. Mayan is a spirit guide sending a message to MacLaine, a message that is repeated throughout the series. The following is a piece from that series. It's like saying that they don't believe in themselves, she is being told. Isn't it hard to love somebody that doesn't love himself? Yeah, she answers, it's like they don't know who they are, you know. I mean, if you don't know who you are, you can't love yourself. He asks her, don't you ever get frustrated when you feel like you're not really being yourself? She answers, yes, all the time. He then tells her, that's what all the masters have tried to help us with. What masters? She asked. You know, Christ, Buddha, the Indian avatars, they are really just master politicians who went right to the root of the problems in society, the individual. Some of them said that if everybody believed that he was a part of God and the kingdom of heaven was within, if we took responsibility for that, we wouldn't get so frustrated with ourselves or anybody else. But it seems like it takes multiple lifetimes to come to that simple realization. She replies, that's mind-boggling, David, I mean when you think of what that really means. He asks her, you want to know a good exercise that helps you get in touch with the realization that we each have inside of us? Exercise? She asks. Here's what you do. Just stand up, hold your arms out like this, and say the kingdom of heaven is within. I love myself. She stands and holds out her arms and repeats, "The kingdom of heaven is within, I love myself." Then he tells her, "Now better than that, say I and God are one." She spreads out her arms and gets ready to say that when he stops her. "I know one better than that," he says, "I got the best one, this is the best one. Just say I am God." She turns to him and says, "David, I can't say that." He replies, "See how little you think of yourself, you can't even say the words." She thinks about it for a minute and then turns and stares out at the ocean, raises her arms one more time and says, "I'm God. I am God." He then tells her, "A little louder please, with maybe a little more conviction." Again, she turns to the ocean and raises her arms. She then proclaims, "I am God. I am, if I'm God then who does that make you?" He answers, "What we see in others we always see in ourselves. I am God." At that point they face each other, they both hold out their arms and recite together, "I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God."
Even Wicca, which is a new term for the old-fashioned witchcraft, also says we're God. The existence of a supreme divine power is known as the One, or the All. The All is not separate from the universe but part of it, and from the All came the God and Goddess, and they are manifested in various forms in the universe. Divinity is within. And of course, here's where it all comes from, the devil says we can become God.
Genesis 3:5. For God knows that when you eat of it your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God.
Lie number 2. The occult is good. UFO entities teach that in order to contact them, one should refrain from certain foods and practice meditation. They also say that you need to develop your psychic abilities and seek direction directly from the spirit world via a psychic, a channeler, a palm reader, astrology, so-called angels, or even dead relatives. Now, the first obvious question is, why do I have to use occult techniques in order to contact a supposed alien, if they're supposed to be a higher evolved technological race? You would think I'd be able to use a walkie-talkie or some other normal scientific communication device. Why is it only through occult techniques that contact can be made? Well, it just so happens that the Bible calls this type of communication a demonic deception and an abomination to God.
Deuteronomy 18:9-14. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium, spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess will listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so.
And just like you'd expect if you violate this biblical rule and seek direction from demons instead of God, you get lied to like in the following example.
Joe Fisher was a researcher in metaphysics for many years before encountering the world of channeling. In his book, Fisher tells how he was invited into the home of a woman called Aviva, who claimed that there were entities from another dimension speaking through her. A small group of people gathered weekly to witness the various voices that would take control of Aviva.
I was so impressed with accents, the personalities, the different languages that were produced by Aviva in her trance state that I said to my friends, among them several journalists, "You have got to see this, you've got to see this for yourself." Which they did, and the group, by me introducing people and them introducing other people and other people introducing other people, the group swelled to over 30.
Alan Williams, Sanford Ellison, Hungry Ghosts.
He said, "I found this group that meets on Friday night, and it's just great, and you have got to come and see what's happening." I think the information was almost a secret society.
So you can imagine, there was Aviva, lying down on her Chesterfield, with little pink slippers pointed towards the ceiling, going into trance, and she would switch from one voice to another, that was different guides speaking through her. As each different person in the room would speak, they would go around the room, and they would never introduce themselves. The voice would go out and immediately the voice she was producing would change in accordance with the voice that asked the question.
And all of these entities, beings, were what we would call inside of her physical body. We would see a lot of changes that would take over. There weren't just the voices, but in being relatively close to her as these beings were coming through. I could see the difference. I could see the characteristics of these entities as they came through. Her body and particularly her face would change.
Her eyes would close, she couldn't see this. I don't know how it was done to this day. I have many questions about just how this was going on. All I know is that, Laurence Olivier, on his finest day, could never have produced this array of different voices and inflections and languages within a space of an hour.
Each one of us had a major guide. Russell was her guide and Takte was mine.
And I spoke to the entity that came forward and he described himself as a sheep farmer in the last century. That was his last incarnation. He proceeded to tell me that I had a guide too, who was looking after me on the earthbound plane. The guide that was in the disembodied realm. Her name was Philippa, she was Greek, she and I had been together in Greece in the 18th century. That is now her responsibility in this other realm to oversee my spiritual development while I was on Earth.
Fisher was intrigued by the entity claiming to be Philippa, his spirit guide. While it was talking through Aviva, he taped it and took the recording to a linguistic expert at the University of Ontario to verify its authenticity.
This man's name was Mr. George Thanuel, and he's a native-born Greek himself. I thought this is perfect. A linguistic expert that is Greek by birth. He listened to two tapes of Philippa speaking and he said in part this is a native-born Greek woman speaking. So, I thought there is proof that Aviva is not concocting this, she hadn't been to the library, read some Greek and then is making it up for me. And even if she were to learn Greek she would be unable to speak with the voice of a native-born Greek.
With such impressive evidence Fisher embarked on a journey to validate the claims of the guides. Had they lived previous lives?
Joe's involvement became quite enhanced. He decided at that point that this was something unique and marvelous, and he was going to write a book on channeling. And bring out all this wonderful information that we were given and actually go and source these various entities. You have to realize that there were 25 to 30 people at this time that were involved, and each one of them had a guide. Each one of these guides had lifetimes and backgrounds, and he was going to find proof of Russell's existence and proof of his guide's existence, and that was going to be part of the book, and that would substantiate this wonderful information.
Fisher's first trip took him to England where Aviva's spirit guide, Russell Parnick, claimed to have lived in the 18th century as a sheep farmer.
He spoke about living near the village of Heathsville, in Yorkshire. I visited it and it was there, just as he had described. Just a few houses and a little church, that sort of thing. Russell spoke about the Druid stones nearby that were a half a day's ride on horseback. Touchingly evoked in last century's language and that was there just as he said. He said he had a 22-acre farm, I wasn't able to find the farm, but he said the farm abutted up to a burned gill that was a little stream that ran into the river. The stream and the river were there. However, when I came to the litmus test again searching for Russell, I searched high and low in the records, in the church records, and government records and he was nowhere to be found.
Another guide, Ernest Scott, had claimed to be a bomber pilot, who had been with the Royal Air Force in the 99th Squadron in World War II. Once again, Fisher went to great lengths to prove this claim, including interviewing members of the squadron only to leave disappointed.
Most of the historical and geographical information he provided was accurate. It was there. The only problem was that Ernest, the bomber pilot, did not exist. I couldn't find him in the records. So, I came back to Toronto and I told them I was much impressed with the fact all the information was there, but there was just this one problem. I couldn't find him. Then he went into a great song and dance about karma, that he has a charge sitting in his room who he must look after. And he had realized too late that the information he was giving me might be detrimental to the welfare of the charge on the earthbound plane. So, he decided to change the information and backtrack. Now I argued with him at great length, I said you could have told me this before I left, if you felt this. And even so, you started off by giving me your name before you had this change of mind and the name that I was looking for was just not in the records. and he weaseled and whined and invoked the higher laws. So, he got out of it. But the question remained with me. Was Ernest telling the truth? Was he not? I will have to check out other guides to find out whether this is true or not.
The obvious choice of guides to investigate was his own guide, Philippa, who he had come to trust because of his personal effort to make contact.
Initially, Philippa encouraged me to contact her, and rather than to go through a medium, the best way to contact your guide is directly, and she said if I concentrated on her every day for 15 minutes or more that I would be able to make this contact after a period of time. So, every morning I would go up to my study and I would train my mind on making contact with her. Nothing happened for weeks and weeks and weeks, but eventually an image of a woman walking towards me in a white wrap was presented to my inner vision, and I was convinced that this was Philippa, and my response was to weep. I cried for several minutes. Again, when I went back to the group, I didn't have to say anything, Philippa said, "You see, we have made contact." And again, this was another brick in the wall.
So, he said he was going to go off and his guide, who loved him dearly, certainly would not deceive him. She gave him all this information. He had maps and research, and he was going to go and find her. He couldn't find Russell, that entity had never been born in that parish or lived in that place, but enough of it fitted. He knew about the general area, same as Ernest knew World War II bombers and things like that. But Joe knew he could never be deceived by his guide.
Now, I then went to Greece looking for Philippa. And a similar thing happened. I was looking for the village of Theras, which, she said, was a five-day walk from the Black Sea. Again, touchingly evoked from the ancient language. She made me believe her initially. I went to the town of Alexandropoulos in northeastern Greece. And it was there that the edifice on which her testimony was based on was crumbling because of the failure of her colleagues to pan out. I had expected Alexandropoulos to be an ancient city based on Alexander the Great. When I went there, I found out that it wasn't. In fact, Alexandropoulos was only built at the beginning of the century. And Philippa was talking about it having existed in her day. This could not have been. So, I carried on my search there looking for more clues of her existence, but Philippa, even though her Greek had been veritable, Philippa too went that way, and it was a very wrenching disillusion for me.
No wonder God bans this practice. He doesn't want people to be lied to and deceived by demonic presences, which again, UFO occupants just happen to encourage. Lie number 3. Christianity is bad. UFO entities teach that Christianity is the biggest culprit in destroying the earth by teaching that man had dominion over the earth when the earth is actually a living being. And they say we need to worship her and change our ways or we will be destroyed. Well, first of all, this is none other than old-fashioned pagan false teaching called Gaia worship. But it's a good thing that nobody's falling for this lie. Unfortunately, Mother Earth worship is spreading fast to almost every corner of society. Here's just a few different examples from various sectors of society.
As the video starts, we hear crying and moaning. As the camera slowly moves closer to the earth, there are people laying on their stomachs and sitting in an almost fetal position, all crying. Reporter: deep in the woods of North Carolina, an extremist eco-group called Earth First bewails the violation of American nature. One of the worshippers exclaims, "We want the old trees, we don't want them to die. That we are some people here that do care. We want you to know, trees. That we care." Sydney Elome Grace, Earth First: "I think that we are deeply hurting in America. I think we are deeply craving answers. I think we have lost our identity as we have evolved into technology, into an industrialized society. Bring me to this cathedral," as she waves her hand round to the trees. "Bring me to those guys, the trees, bring me to this rock that has the most incredible life. That makes me feel alive." Carol Matriciana, reporter: "Why should we care about Mother Earth?"
Actor James Coburn: "Mother Earth is our mother. She's the mother goddess. She's the one we should be praising, not raping. All of these people here today are here for one reason. Because they are concerned about what is happening to the earth, what mankind is doing to the earth.
I mean, the negative emotion we carry around is another contributor. It all feeds the moon. We have to be true to ourselves and true to Mother Earth. She is going to be bountiful, she is going to give us everything we need. She has for a long time. We have lost our way. The pagans used to know how to do it.
the Indians used to know how to do it. Some of them still remember how to do it. The Earth is a living organism. We are killing the one we love the most, and she loves us. We have to praise our Mother Goddess.
The women's movement today is called the Women's Spirituality Movement in great part, and that is because it's not just concentrating on areas of social and political reform, but it's looking hard and fast at spiritual reform. Women are gathering today in circles just like their 1960 counterparts did. But now they're not just knocking down the doors to a man's world, asking for entrance. Instead, they are looking at the myths, spiritual beliefs, religions, values, everything that runs our culture.
Everything that feeds our souls. We're going to take a look at the women's spirituality movement, as it has been called by the women participating in it, weaving new stories, returning goddess. They believe she is back on the planet alive and well. And she can do a lot for you.
The goddess is alive, magic is afoot, the goddess is alive, magic is afoot. Women are chanting and dancing around in a circle, beating drums, and ringing bells.
Comments from different members: what the goddess means to me is wholeness and peace. What the goddess means to me is my internal strength. She has come to me and shown me the beauty that is within myself. The goddess is my voice. She is my self-empowerment, she is my self-respect.
As a result, my life has really undergone some major transformations, not only creatively but in the pathway I have started to take.
And I have the works of Zhuzhana Budapest to thank for that.
The goddess is alive, magic is afoot, the goddess is alive, magic is afoot. Women are chanting and dancing around in a circle, beating drums, and ringing bells.
Comments from different members: what the goddess means to me is wholeness and peace. What the goddess means to me is my internal strength. She has come to me and shown me the beauty that is within myself. The goddess is my voice. She is my self-empowerment, she is my self-respect.
As a result, my life has really undergone some major transformations, not only creatively but in the pathway I have started to take.
And I have the works of Zhuzhana Budapest to thank for that.
Now we have little kids from the Mount Madonna School who are singing the Pledge of Allegiance, but it goes like this: I pledge allegiance to the earth that cares for land and sea, and if we cherish every living thing with peace and justice everywhere. I pledge allegiance to the earth to care for land and sea, and if you cherish every living thing with peace and justice everywhere, with peace and justice everywhere.
10. We stand at a critical moment in Earth's history. A time when humanity must choose its future.
The dominant patterns of production and consumption are causing environmental devastation. Injustice, poverty, and violence are widespread and the cause of great suffering. Advertisement, fundamental changes are needed in our values, institutions, and ways of living. Your Earth Charter provides an ethical foundation for building a more sustainable world respecting nature, universal human rights, economic justice, and a culture of peace. The creation of the Earth Charter was achieved through a decade-long, worldwide, cross-cultural dialogue on commonly shared values, beginning with the 1992 Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The Earth Charter drafting process continued gaining momentum at the 1995 Earth Charter International Workshop in the Netherlands. This unique participatory and inclusive process continued over the next 5 years, the national and regional workshops worldwide. Earth Charter commissioners carefully considered the outcome of this international consultation as they worked in the final drafting of the charter. A new phase began in the year 2000 with the official launching of the Earth Charter.
Speaker: we make this gift of service to all our brothers and sisters in the human family, especially to the children, to those who suffer in poverty and oppression, and the future generations. We make this gift of service to the greater community of life.
Jan Roberts, summit's organizer: and today, we came together, and we launched in the United States, and make no mistake about this, we launched the Earth Charter, our Declaration of Interdependence.
And this idolatrous behavior is precisely why the Bible says God's wrath is being revealed from heaven. People have the audacity to worship created things, even the earth, instead of the creator of the earth.
Romans 1:18-25. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen.
Lie number 4, Christianity is outdated. UFOs teach that Christianity is false and outdated. They say there is no such thing as sin and we do not need to be saved. Not so surprisingly, that's not what the Bible says.
Romans 3:23, 6:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Lie number 5, Christianity is wrong. Orthodox Christianity has it all wrong. UFOs declare Jesus' real message, they say, was to teach us that each one of us could become Christ's. Again, shocker, that's not what the Bible says. In fact, Jesus warned about this lie in the passage we saw earlier.
Matthew 24:4-5. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many."
Lie number 6. The devil is good, believe it or not. UFOs even go so far as to say that the devil or Lucifer is actually a good guy who has come to free us. Really? Here's just a few of the names the Bible uses to describe the character of Satan. He's the accuser, the deceiver, the evil one, the father of lies, a murderer, the power of darkness, the ruler of demons, the tempter, a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and of course, the wicked one. Doesn't sound like a good guy to me. Lie number 7. All religions are the same. UFO entities would have you and I believe that all religions, except Orthodox Christianity, are of equal merit. They teach that we are at the threshold of a new age of occult enlightenment and that extraterrestrial entities are now present to assist mankind into leaving old ways and adjusting to the new age of spiritual advancement, which includes acknowledging that Jesus is but one of many great teachers such as Buddha, Muhammad or Confucius. They even state that these teachers all come from the ETs to assist mankind in our next step of evolution. Now, first of all, notice how once again the lie of evolution is needed to get us to believe in this next lie. First, the UFOs say we evolved physically but now, with their help, we will be evolving spiritually. Furthermore, all religions being one cannot be true because here's what Jesus himself clearly taught.
John 14:6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:7-10. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father, living in me, who is doing his work."
Now I'd say that's just a little bit different than Buddha, Muhammad or Confucius. Especially when you consider the fact that Jesus rose again from the grave and is still alive, but those guys are still dead. Major difference. So once again, it's a good thing that nobody's listening to this lie from the UFO occupants. Well, unfortunately, just like other lies, this one too is gaining ground. Here's just a small proof of that from various outlets.
URI. Peace, it should be natural order. Peace, why is it so hard to find? Peace, why do people try so hard to prevent it? Why do so many people divide, split and fracture, the one face of humanity? Is there something you can do to heal the violence?
Religiously motivated violence can end. This is your invitation to be a peace builder.
In the year 2000, a unique global community took the initiative to end religiously motivated hate and violence by founding the United Religions Initiative. Because of URI, Indians and Pakistanis of diverse faiths are looking beyond the boundaries that divide them. Because of URI, Christians and indigenous peoples of Latin America are creating a new world of mutual respect. Because of URI, Jews, Muslims and Christians in the Middle East are learning that the only real security is peace.
In just a few short years, the United Religions Initiative has spread to 50 countries on 5 continents.
In a few short years, former enemies have stopped seeing each other as the other and started seeing each other as themselves. Baha'i, Christian, Muslim, Jew, Buddhist, Sikh, Zoroastrianism, Hindu, all around the world, URI is helping people experience the shared human face behind the different human faiths. Achieving on a deep personal, spiritual level, what the governments and organizations have been unable to accomplish before.
Now more than ever, this initiative must become a shared initiative.
One community, one neighborhood, one region at a time.
Oprah Winfrey. The mistakes that human beings are making is believing there is only one way to live, and that we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world. There are millions of ways to be a human being and many paths to what you call God, as she points to another woman, she says, her path may be something else. And when she gets there, she might call it the light.
But her loving, and her kindness, and her generosity may bring her, or if it brings her to the same point as you, it doesn't matter if she calls it God along the way or not. A lady in the audience says, the danger in that, it sounds great at the onset, but if you really look at it from both sides. Oprah interrupts her, there couldn't possibly be only one way. Another woman in the audience asks, what about Jesus?
Oprah answers, what about Jesus?
She then answers, there is one way and only one way, and that is through Jesus.
Oprah then says, there couldn't possibly be only one way. The lady in the audience then says, just because you say it, you intellectualize it, and say that there isn't, doesn't make it true. If you all don't believe it, you are all buying into the lie. The Nevada legislature is opened with a prayer from a Hindu statesman, but is interrupted.
The announcement is made that the session will open by NRI Hindu chaplain Rajan Zed.
As he steps to the desk to start his pray, before he can start speaking, he is interrupted by a voice in the audience. Lord Jesus, forgive us, Father, for allowing the prayer of the wicked, which is an abomination in your sight.
The sergeant at arms will restore order in the Senate.
We shall have no other gods before you. You are the one true.
The sergeant at arms will restore order in the Senate.
ABC America exclusive reports. Let me ask you some questions about faith, which is a tough subject to talk about. Do we all worship the same God, Muslim and Christian? President Bush, I believe we do. We have different routes of getting to the Almighty. Interviewer, do Christians and non-Christians and Muslims go to heaven, in your opinion? President Bush, yes, they do. We have different routes of getting there. The Vatican. The Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church. This Pope is leading the greatest ecumenical movement in history in order to unite all religions under Rome's leadership. In 1986, Pope John Paul II gathered in Assisi, Italy, the leaders of the world's major religions to pray for peace. There were snake worshippers, fire worshippers, spiritists, Buddhas, Hindu, Muslims, North American witch doctors. I watched in astonishment as they walked to the microphone to pray. The Pope said they were all praying to the same God. And that their prayers were creating a spiritual energy that was bringing a new climate for peace. John Paul II allowed his good friend the Dalai Lama to put the Buddha on the altar at St. Peter's Church at Assisi, and with his monks have a worship ceremony there while Shintos chanted and rang their bells outside. The prophesied world religion is in the process of being formed before our eyes. CNN Live reports. There is a major effort taking place to curb free speech in this country, irrespective of our Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and free speech advocates say the United Nations has come down on precisely the wrong side. The United Nations has adopted what it calls a resolution combating defamation of religions. The United Nations now want to make that anti-blasphemy resolution binding on member nations, including, of course, our own. That would make it a crime in the United States, if the United Nations were to have its way, to criticize religion.
Lie number 8. Antichrist is good. UFO entities would even then teach that we should not neglect the fact that we need to submit to some drastic forms of authoritarian social control because it is necessary to assure the survival of this planet. They say that mankind needs to unite into a one-world government and a one-world religion or we will be destroyed. That lie too is making great headway.
CNN reports. Declassified U.S. government documents and witness testimony from former or retired U.S. military personnel confirm beyond any doubt the reality of ongoing UFO incursions at nuclear weapons sites. When I say UFO, the witnesses have described these craft as disc-shaped, or cylindrical-shaped, or spherical. These objects are capable of hovering, and high-velocity flight usually completely silent. Over the past 37 years, I have personally located and interviewed over 120 of these former or retired military personnel, and all of whom report UFO incidents at one or more of the following locations: nuclear missile sites, nuclear weapons storage areas, and nuclear weapons test sites in Nevada and the Pacific during the era of atomic atmospheric testing. I really believe, and these gentlemen believe, that this planet is being visited by beings from another world, who for whatever reason have taken an interest in the nuclear arms race which began at the end of World War II. Regarding the missile shutdown incidents, my opinion and their opinion, is that whoever is aboard these craft are sending a signal to both Washington and Moscow, among others, that we are playing with fire. That the possession and threatened use of nuclear weapons potentially threaten the human race and the integrity of their environment.
Then they further speculate that in order for the world to be at peace and harmony there must be a new world order, universal monetary system, a world authority on food, health, and water, universal tax, one world leader, and the abolishment of Christianity. First of all, why once again do you pick on just Christianity to the point where you want to eradicate it? Secondly, surely nobody's falling for this ridiculous lie. Well, actually, leaders in the government think it's precisely why UFOs are here, to save us from certain destruction.
History Channel reports. I was abducted by aliens. These terrifying words have been spoken by people who claim to have had close encounters with little gray men. Some of these grays have a very dark agenda. The grays are allegedly an alien species that have been reported countless times. It's been going on for thousands of years. There are multiple species and we have been visited on multiple occasions. We have had descriptions of grays for over 40 years. There was the Roswell incident, Outer Limits, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. We're going to meet with Miriam Delicato, who encountered grays. Miriam Delicato. It was October 1988, we were driving in northern British Columbia, and all of a sudden out of nowhere these lights appeared behind the car. It was almost as wide as two lanes, we actually thought it was a big truck or something. The lights started popping on and off. The girl driving was beginning to get really afraid. Then all of a sudden out of absolutely nowhere I said to her, "Pull over the car, it's not you they want, it's me." Interviewer, what possessed you to say that? Miriam Delicato. I really didn't know at that point. We walked on board this craft and they sat me down on this chair and then in front of me came a screen from out of thin air. They started showing me all these different images. Tall blonde extraterrestrial. Interviewer, what kind of images were these? Miriam Delicato. Catastrophes on the planet. Earthquakes, solar flares, war, and I saw all these that I would interpret as timelines and paths that humanity could take, and I was explained how, if we could come together as a species, we could be able to avoid any and all of these events. Interviewer, so, what was the purpose of this? What were they trying to do? Miriam Delicato. It was explained to me that they are the caretakers of this earth and that their purpose of being here is to enlighten us and make us aware of who we are and to make sure that we do not destroy ourselves or the planet. Interviewer. Well, this was very interesting what Miriam was telling us about the grays showing her pictures of us in war, harming the planet. Sounds to me like they are bringing a benevolent message that they are trying to help us. It doesn't sound to me like they wish us harm.
Oh, but that's not all. Others say that the aliens are not only here to save us from blowing ourselves up, but they say they've also come to free us from the evil grip of corporations that are hindering us from experiencing global peace and prosperity and creating our own utopia.
Foster Gamble. I have spent nearly a lifetime trying to figure out what happened that could account for the staggering agony and degradation on this planet. I set out on a journey seeking to answer questions like, is it even possible for humans to thrive? I found a code. A pattern in nature that has been embedded in arcs and icons throughout the century. Astronaut Edgar Mitchell, Apollo 14. Yes, there's been crashed crafts and bodies recovered. John Callahan, senior FAA official. But who do you tell that you were involved in a UFO incident without them looking at you like you ain't wrapped too tight? Osirian Temple Abydos, Egypt. It's not etched into the rock, it's not carved, it's burned into the atomic structure in some extraordinary way. I believe that they are giving us a model for accessing energy, clean, safe, limitless way, that can completely revolutionize the way all people live. Adam Trombley, physicist, inventor. Right here in this strobe there is enough energy to transform the entire Earth. That's not just a theoretical statement, it's literally true. Stephen Greer, Maryland. Energy is extracted from the fabric of the space around us, which means that it cannot be metered. That is a direct threat to the single largest industry in the world. Energy. The suppression of the UFO phenomena goes hand in hand with the suppression of the so-called free energy. An elite group of people and the corporations they run have gained control of not only our energy, food supply, education, and healthcare, but over virtually every aspect of our lives. Deepak Chopra, Maryland. The way the system of medicine is set up, the medical education is funded by pharmaceutical companies. Bill Still, writer, The Money Masters. We have a privately owned central bank system disguised as a government-owned system. Alan Greenspan, former chairman, Federal Reserve. There is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take. Catherine Austin Fitz, former assistant secretary, U.S. Department of HUD. It gives them the ability to print money in a way that insiders are protected, and everybody is drained. David Icke, author, The Biggest Secret. No matter where you go in the world, they control the money, they control the world.
Now that might all sound well and good, and definitely politically correct these days, but little do people know that these suggestions from UFOs occupants to save our planet from nuclear threat and evil corporations, and then submit ourselves to a one-world ruler who will oversee a one-world government, one-world economy, and a one-world religion, just so happens to be what the Bible describes as the Antichrist Kingdom. This is the very evil satanic government that arises in the last days and gives birth to the seven-year tribulation, which again, Jesus said would be mankind's greatest nightmare.
Revelation 13:5-9, 11-17. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God, and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. Then I saw another beast, coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Now, I don't think that's a coincidence. UFOs are helping to prepare people with their false teachings to accept the rise of the Antichrist Kingdom. It truly is the last day's great deception. Again, stop and think about it logically. Come on. You came all the way to Earth just to promote the rise of the Antichrist, support the occult and demonic New Age teachings, and debunk Christianity. Really? You'd think you'd share with us some secret technology or help us gain a cure for cancer or something beneficial like that, since you're supposed to be so intellectually superior to us, and much more highly evolved. But nope. You just came here to slam Jesus, Christianity, and the Bible, and promote the Antichrist kingdom. That sounds demonic to me. Lie number 9. The 7-year tribulation is good, as if what we've seen so far isn't bad enough, UFOs and aliens then have the audacity to also teach that the 7-year tribulation that is coming is not something to be concerned about at all or even avoided, like what Jesus said. Incredibly, they actually say it's something we should look forward to. Here's how the Bible describes that period. You tell me if there is anything in here we should be looking forward to. Seal judgments. First seal, white horse, global false peace. Second seal, red horse, global war. Third seal, black horse, global famine. Fourth seal, pale horse, global death, 1/4 of mankind killed by sword, famine, plague, wild beasts. Fifth seal, altar of souls, global persecution. Sixth seal, beginning of great tribulation, which unleashes a global earthquake. Sun turns black. Moon turns red. Asteroids fall to earth. Sky recedes. Mountains/islands removed from places. Global fear of God's wrath. Trumpet judgments opened by the seventh seal, silence in heaven. First trumpet, hail fire, 1/3 of earth trees and all green grass burned up. Second trumpet, huge asteroid, 1/3 of sea dies and 1/3 ships destroyed. Third trumpet, blazing comet, 1/3 of rivers and fresh water bitter, many people die. Fourth trumpet, solar smiting, 1/3 of sun, moon, and stars struck, 1/3 day and night without light. Fifth trumpet, Satan releases demon horse of locust people with mark, tortured 5 months. Sixth trumpet, 4 angels loosed from Euphrates, 1/3 mankind killed. Bowl judgments. First bowl, ugly painful sores on receivers of the mark. Second bowl, all the sea turns to blood, all sea creatures die. Third bowl, all the rivers and fresh water to blood. Fourth bowl, sun scorches people with fire, people curse God. Fifth bowl, kingdom of Antichrist plunged into darkness. Sixth bowl, Euphrates dries up, prepares way for kings of east for Armageddon. Three evil frog-like spirits deceive the world for Armageddon, out of mouth of Satan, out of mouth of Antichrist, out of mouth of false prophet. Seventh bowl, final pronouncement. It is done. Greatest of all earthquakes. A new look for Jerusalem split in three. All cities collapse. A cup of wrath for Babylon. All islands and mountains gone. A massive hailstorm weighing 100 pounds each. Angel harvest of the righteous, angel harvest of the unrighteous, blood as high as horses bridle, 4 feet deep for 1600 stadia or 200 miles. Now folks, I don't know about you, but I'd say that's not a pleasant time. That's not something we should be looking forward to. Yet, that's exactly what the so-called space brothers or UFO entities out there are saying. They say the tribulation period is going to be wonderful because it will help us evolve spiritually so we can create utopia on this planet. Here's just a few examples of how they are trying to get us to buy into this ludicrous lie.
Climatic shifts, droughts, floods, acid rain and pollution, earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. Although severe, these changes will pave the way for a cleansing of the earth and a new relationship between earth and man. This will be the day of purification. Trees will die. Cold places will become hot. Hot places will become cold. Lands will sink into the ocean and lands will rise out of the sea. All the suffering going on in this country with the tornadoes, floods and earthquakes is carried on by the breath of Mother Earth, because she is in pain. This battle will cleanse the heart of people and restore our Mother Earth from illness, and the wicked will be gotten rid of.
Really? So, being left behind to face all these atrocities is a good thing, and only those nasty wicked people will be gotten rid of? In fact, here's one of their promotional videos encouraging us to think this way.
As we listen to beautiful soft music of this video, the words "the time has come, our evolution has begun" appears on the screen. Then a picture of the earth comes on and a soft-spoken woman starts to speak. All around the planet, people are awakening to the reality that humanity and the earth are now entering a heightened phase of activity on their inseparable journeys of growth and expansion. This acceleration is marked by the increasing intensity of global events and by the rising temperature of nearly every planet in our solar system. While here on Earth time itself seems to be speeding up and chaos mounting, as phenomenal shifts occur in our physical and perceptual realities with increasing rapidity. The simplest explanation behind this sense of speeding up is that our planet's vibrational frequency is rising.
This event, which many ancient cultures have prophetically termed the quickening, has begun. And it is the greatest opportunity of our times.
We believe that by expanding our imaginations to explore possible future events, we may prevent ourselves from reacting in fear should the previously unimagined become manifest. As a result of having already experienced these events in our minds, we will be more centered and able to see the opportunities they present should they or something similar occur. And so, with this understanding of the power of imagination as the means of which we can navigate the unknown, this presentation will not only explore what sorts of events could occur between now and October that might lead to the end of the world as we know it. We will also look at how such events, regardless of how challenging they may seem, could serve to bring humanity to a global experience of unity consciousness that would then lead us into a harmonious new existence and to our return to the long prophesied experience of heaven on earth.
The speaking stops and the screen goes black. Then the words appear, "Return to One." Then she starts speaking again.
This anticipated period of great change and purification, which many believe will happen sometime between now and 2012, is referred to as the Shift of the Ages. And though there are those that believe that the shift is some grand event that is going to occur in the outer physical world or in the cosmos at some point in the not-too-distant future, bringing either salvation or destruction to the world, there are others who believe the shift is happening right now.
And in fact, that it has been and always will be happening. For these people believe that the shift can be experienced at any moment by anyone who is willing to make the internal shift back to One. I am ready for the next step in humanity's evolution. The time has come to live for each other.
The darkness before the dawn. Let us now consider how the events that are set to unfold the next few months could assist humanity in its evolution from a purely material-based perspective of existence to one more rooted in spirituality. As mentioned before, there are many people in the world today who, because of their focus on material success and survival, will not spare a second thought for their soul or spiritual self until they are faced with death, suffering, and the inevitable collapse of everything they have come to depend on in the material world. Thus, in accordance with the familiar phrase that it is always darkest before the dawn, it is our belief that in the coming months the world will be required to experience a level of death and destruction that will encourage its material-obsessed inhabitants to return to a more spiritual base of existence. Though it is understandable that the collapse of our material world and its existence could be quite a frightening experience, it is essential to understand here that those who learn to have faith in the spiritual purpose in these events will be given the tools and awareness that will allow them to face and flow through all of the challenges of the coming shift with relative grace and ease. With this perspective, when they learn to move through the events of the coming months with a heart full of love and gratitude, rather than being consumed with hate and fear, then it is the power of this faith to bring us peace that is being referred to in the Hopi prophecy of the blue and the red cochineas, when it says, "Life will get very perverted, and there will be little social order in these times. Many will ask for the mountains themselves to fall upon them, just to end their misery. While still others will appear as if untouched by what is occurring. For they are the ones who remember the original teachings, and who have reconnected their hearts and spirit. When the purifier comes, many things will begin to occur that will not make sense, for reality will be shifting back in and out of the dream state. Things unseen will be felt very strongly. There will be many strange beasts upon the earth in those days, some from the past and some that we have never seen. The nature of mankind will appear strange in these times we walk between worlds, and we will house many spirits even within our bodies. After a time, we will again walk with our brothers from the stars and rebuild this earth. But not until the purifier has left his mark upon the universe."
So, wait a second, being left behind to face the horrible realities of the 7-year tribulation is actually a wonderful thing, a badge of honor, instead of what the Bible says that it is actually the hand of God, his judgment? Pretty slick if you put all that together. And that's exactly what this guy says. Stuart Goldman, a reporter, concludes his research on UFOs with these comments.
"The unpleasant fact is, 50,000 people cannot be lying. Something is here, probing people, inspecting them, and planting thoughts in their minds, manipulating their bodies, treating them, in a sense, like so many cattle. Is it all simply a gigantic cosmic joke, or is there a more sinister plot at hand? Are we seeing the formation of a new and highly destructive cult, one whose view posits the elimination, the New Agers call it spiritual cleansing, of people who are unfit to exist in the coming new world? Are there really demonic entities hovering about, searching for likely candidates whose brains and minds they can invade, filling them full of fairy tales and lies, fattening them for the kill?
The answer would be yes. Why? Because they're demons and that's what they do. This is exactly what kinds of lies you would expect them to teach. Let's look at the text again from Jesus.
John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
All these signs of the planet experiencing increasing turmoil and unrest and increasing in earthquakes and destruction have nothing to do with mankind getting ready to evolve spiritually into the age of utopia. They are the signs given by Jesus nearly 2,000 years ago to let us know when his return was imminent and that we better be ready when he comes back.
Luke 21:11. And there shall be great earthquakes in diverse places and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs there shall be from heaven.
Disaster in Japan, people in their offices are falling, trying to hang onto their desks as the ceiling is falling around them because of a major earthquake. Another earthquake hits New Zealand Christchurch February 22, 2011. People are running for their lives as the buildings are crumbling around them. Honshu, Japan, April 7, 2011, another earthquake, and March 11, 2011 with a magnitude of 9.0. People are running out of the buildings in fear of losing their lives from the falling debris. The skyscrapers are swaying back and forth. Newspapers report earthquakes increase around the world. Scientists find increase in micro-earthquakes after Chilean quake. Strong earthquakes increasing, disrupting planet's magnetic field. Huge quake hits Chile, prompting region-wide tsunami warning.
Isaiah 24:20. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Luke 21:25-26. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken.
Signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Massive CME solar flares February 13, 2011, Red Horse of the Apocalypse. Total lunar eclipse June 15, 2011, longest and darkest in a century. Newspaper report, longest, darkest lunar eclipse of the century. New Delhi, the longest and darkest total lunar eclipse of the century will occur tomorrow, giving sky enthusiasts all over the country an opportunity to witness the event. An unusually long lunar eclipse with the moon immersed deeply inside the darker shadow of the Earth will occur tomorrow.
Nehru Planetarium director said. Blood moon rising as ash cloud tipped altar eclipse. Longest in 100 years.
Century's longest lunar eclipse. Newspaper report, Moon, Saturn, Spisher, Australia August 2, 2011. Rare supermoon rising tonight. Supermoon describes a new or full moon occurring at the same time the moon comes within 90% of its closest approach to Earth in a given orbit. It's an event that happens 4 to 6 times a year, but according to a NASA science news story, tonight's full moon will nearly coincide with the moon's arrival at its closet point in its orbit around the Earth, resulting in the biggest visible full moon in North America in 2 decades.
20.
P/2010A2, Hubble telescope image unlike any object ever seen before, scientists baffled. Comet Elenin 2011, causing extreme supermoon March 19, 2011. Cosmic and atmospheric disturbances, affecting the magnetic poles, are estimated to make one of its closest passes to Earth on September 11 and the October and November months.
Russian reports warn, Comet Elenin under intelligent control. Elenin update, June 2011. Document reading of Russian reports on Elenin being under intelligent control. Also, the Russian government wars 2012 may be too late for building 5,000 bomb shelters.
Strange signs in the sky.
Montreal, July 25, 2011. A large circular cloud hovers over the city. March 2, 2001. Two objects are hovering over Tucson's China. A meteor flies through the sky over Wisconsin, seen over downtown Milwaukee.
Something strange that looks like a jellyfish is flying over Russia. March 13, 2011.
Revelation 6, 3-4. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword.
Death of animals. Portugal 2011, dead squid laying on the beach. New Zealand 2011, dead whales on the beach. 20. Arkansas 2011, dead fish laying thick on the beach. January 1, 2011, BB, Arkansas mass wildlife death spread, thousands of dead blackbirds fall from the sky and 100,000 dead fish wash up in the Arkansas River. Fox reports, birds, fish, and all kinds of creatures are dropping dead. In Ireland, California, England, Middle East, Greece, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, Portage County, Maryland, Chesapeake Bay, this is all the sign of the apocalypse.
Hosea 4:3. Therefore the land shall mourn, and everyone who dwells there shall languish, with the beasts of the fields and the birds of the air, even the fishes of the sea shall be taken away.
Millions of locusts invade Russia. June 9, 2011. China, 2011, southeastern Australia. 2011. Thousands of beetles swarms Australian tourist mecca, stumping scientists. The Australian tourist mecca of surface paradise has been swarmed by thousands of beetles, a never-before-seen phenomenon that has stumped local scientists. The water beetle invasion captured on amateur YouTube footage shows the large black beetle swarming around lights and dropping to the footpath in surface paradise in Queensland, about 7 km southeast of Brisbane last night, the Gold Coast Bulletin reports. 23.
Plague of millions of frogs invade Greece. Highways shut down, experts clueless. 23.
150 human-animal hybrids grown in UK labs, embryos have been produced secretively for the past 3 years.
Human-animal hybrid created amid Frankenstein warnings.
Scientists create human-animal hybrids in secret research.
Hybrids were produced in secret by researchers looking into cures for diseases. Part human/part animal hybrid monsters created by scientists all over the planet.
Luke 17:26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man.
INGV Earth shifted 4 inches on its axis. Japan earthquake shortened length of 24-hour day. NASA, Japan quake appears to have shortened Earth day shifted axis. 26. Honshu Island shifted 8 feet. South super tornado outbreak worst ever in U.S. history. Storm forensics experts have begun to put into historical perspective the massive twisters outbreak that hit Alabama and 6 other southern states. The Tuscaloosa twister alone may register as the most powerful long-track tornado in U.S. history. Record 226 tornadoes in 24 hours last week. Washington, preliminary government estimates say there were more tornadoes in a single day last week than any other day in history. Government analysts say there were 312 tornadoes during last week's outbreak, including a record-setting 226 in one day. 27. A tornado moves through Tuscaloosa, Alabama. April 27, 2011. A wave of severe storms laced with tornadoes strafed the south on Wednesday, killing nearly 200 people across the south. Mile-wide monster tornado rips Tuscaloosa, April 27, 2011. 2011 tornado death toll tops 500 and season not over. Reuters, more than 500 people have been killed by twisters in 2011, making it the deadliest tornado year. Australia flooding of biblical proportions. It hasn't quite been 40 days and 40 nights of rain, but the Australia flooding has already been described as a disaster of biblical proportions, slashing coal exports, ruining crops and stranding 75,000 people in a coastal town turned island. Australian flood size of France, Germany. Chile volcano June 6, 2011. Volcanic ash blocks out sun in Bariloche, Argentina. Ash cloud 6 miles high. Largest hurricane in Australian history, Cat 5 Cyclone Yasi hitting Queensland. Montreal, July 25, 2011, made no sound, remained stationary 1 hour. Through wind. Hawaii volcano erupts March 6, 2011, lava spews 65 feet high. January 5, 2011, pole shift confirmed by FAA. Shift of Earth's magnetic north pole moving 40 miles per year. Scientists say the magnetic north pole is moving toward Russia and the fallout has reached, of all places, Tampa International Airport. The airport has closed its primary runway until Jan 13, to repaint the numeric designators at each end and change taxiway signage to account for the shift in location of the Earth's magnetic north. The closure of the west parallel runway will result in more activity on the east parallel runway and more noise for residential areas of South Tampa. Climate chaos, rare June snow falls in desert of Namibia. 7.8 mag quake triggers tsunami in New Zealand. Blizzard of 2011, a storm of historic proportions. Las Vegas Review-Journal, 4 homes wash away in Arizona, dangerous flooding creates emergency.
Matthew 24:34. I tell you the truth, this generation shall not pass away until all these things have taken place.
Looks like the signs that Jesus is getting ready to come back are all around us. I sure hope you're ready.